Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
House Ag Committee Ranking Member Angie Craig from Minnesota Tuesday unveiling the framework for the Farm and Family Relief Act, positioning the proposal as a broad response to farm income losses, higher food prices, and looming changes to federal nutrition assistance programs. Now, the proposal centers on three pillars: family relief, farm relief, tariff reform, and it's framed by Democrats as a counterweight to President Trump's trade policies and recent changes to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. Craig said the combination of tariffs, higher input costs, and a pending SNAP cost shift to states has strained both farm balance sheets and household food budgets. Under the framework, bill would delay SNAP benefit cost shifts to states by 4 years and administrative cost shifts by 2 years, providing what she described as breathing room for states and food assistance recipients. Supporters argued the delay would help prevent benefit reductions or state withdrawals from the program as food prices continue to rise. Well, small business confidence finished the year on firmer ground, offering cautious optimism for rural communities and farm-dependent economies in 2026. National Federation of Independent Business reports its Small Business Optimism Index increased in December, remaining above its long-term average as uncertainty eased to its lowest levels since mid-2024. Improved expectations for business conditions drove much of the gain. That matters, though, for rural lenders, ag retailers, equipment dealers, and mainstream business whose revenues rise and fall with farm income. Lower uncertainty suggests owners beginning to plan beyond short-term survival and toward stabilization. What's the top concern among small business? Tax. Ocean freight rates expected to ease in 2026, offering potential cost relief for U.S. grain exporters after elevated shipping expenses late last year. Analysts cited in the World Grain Project that new dry bulk vessel deliveries will outpace global demand in 26-27, increasing fleet capacity and placing downward pressure on rates. Reduced security disruptions in the Red Sea could further improve vessel efficiency if traffic returns to the Suez Canal. While the outlook favors lower rates, short-term volatility remains possible. And uncertainty continues to shape the outlook for U.S. ag trade in the new year as tariffs and shifting trade relationships continue to disrupt long-established export patterns. Luis Ribera is director of the Center for North American Studies, says trade policy volatility has become a defining feature of the farm economy heading into the new year. USDA projecting U.S. ag exports to fall $173 billion this year. That's the lowest level since 2021. Decline reflects both lower volumes and weaker values. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Yeah, so it's certainly been a better year than the last three that we've seen consecutively in the last couple of years. So we're excited about that. It's certainly been a necessity that both growers and the infrastructure segments have needed.
Talking about the High Plains cotton crops, CEO of Lubbock-based Plains Cotton Growers, Cody Besson.
Texas as a whole, just on historical estimates, you know, based on the nation's estimate of 13.97 million bales, typically our region as a whole, our 42 counties that we serve, usually make up about 35 to 40%. So if we conservatively estimate what the production looks like here at 35%, we're looking at about, you know, 4 million bales for the state. 35% of the state make up the nation's production. So we're looking at about 4.8 to 5 million bales. Probably a little bit more advanced than that, a little bit more heavier than that, I would say. The overall region in general has been better than expected. You do have some pockets that certainly came off a little bit lesser than desirable. But the overall production in general has been better than expected. Quality has been excellent, which has been very helpful, especially looking at participating in the marketing assistance loan program or getting favorable grades back to help with marketing, even though our marketing conditions are very bleak. But anything is that we can help enhance that forefront right now is very good. And certainly it's easy to say, again, as I mentioned early on, is, you know, this year, while it's been better than the last three, that's not really saying too much. We're hopeful, at least within our 42 county region. The last couple of years, we've been very well under a 2 million bale crop. Hopefully we will succeed that in an amicable manner. I believe we will. I don't know that we'll quite reach a 3 million bale crop within our 42 county area. I hope we do, but conservatively, I do think we'll be around 2.5 to 2.7 million, just in general estimates. All that can change, just a general guess, but certainly we're seeing a more favorable ginning capacity and volume than we've seen the last couple of years.
National Cotton Council has mailed out their questionnaires for planting intentions this year.
I encourage those that have received it to fill them out. You know, fortunately, the National Cotton Council and their economists and how they evaluate the overall systematic picture of the cotton industry, as well as, you know, the ebbs and flow of what people are planning to do, whether it's plant cotton or another alternative based crop, is extremely important. It'll be one of the first reports that's released come February at the annual meeting for the National Cotton Council. The market typically has some influx and reaction to that. It's very similar to what you see from another staple commodity that we see in the upper panhandle, not in the Kansas, when they do the quality tour in the summertime, whenever wheat harvest is first getting going, that there's a lot of people that look to that for, you know, what's this year fits in a shape up and be like. No different than the planting intention survey for the National Cotton Council. So I encourage people to take a look at it, fill it out. It's easy, quick, certainly not beholden to it, but it does give the industry an idea of where we're moving, where we're heading, and to basically make some planning decisions. It's no different whenever a producer goes into their lender. Essentially, they bring in a lot of information to help them make decisions for the year. This helps the industry as a whole start looking at making some decisions for the year as well.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever, because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
The USDA numbers that came out today showed the 25-26 cotton balance sheet for January, indicating lower production and ending stocks compared to December.
Bob Maurer is with Manduka Trading in Chicago.
Beginning stocks, consumption, exports, and imports were all unchanged. Production is reduced by a little over 2% month on month to about just shy of 14 million bales, primarily because of lower production in the Delta. National average yield declined by about 8% from last month to about 856 pounds per acre. And really, with the smaller crop, ending stocks are reduced by about 7% to 4.2 million bales. And basically, this is setting up the story where maybe it'll give the cotton market some kind of catalyst to at least stave off any new lows, perhaps maintain some of the gains it's gotten over the last week or so in the trade, where we've seen prices get a little bit more buoyant in this particular market. So we'll see how that plays out. So USDA didn't deliver a slew of just bad information currently for at least a few of the crops out there in agricultural sectors. And specifically for cotton, things look a little bit better.
That's cotton, but what about protein? Cattle and hogs?
The relatively tight supplies that everybody knows about has been watching these markets, and the rather consistent fund buying, they continue to support the market. One thing that's working against it over time here, I think, could be the poor packer margins, and obviously, clearly, at times, this market is subject to some profit taking, so I think that's on the back of a lot of traders' minds. Near term, though, Fed cattle slaughter remains, you know, well below year ago levels, which is not news to anybody watching this thing. Even with the heavier carcass weights, overall production is still relatively tight compared to the historical norms. Packer margins, like I mentioned, are not good, so that is not conducive for the market at some point. So I think there could be some corrections that you'll see here and there. Lower slaughter rates, we're seeing heavier carcass weights, which isn't news, but still, you know, that's definitely been an ongoing factor in terms of at least limiting any really out of control rally to the upside. Firm cash prices are strongly indicative of a good market there, or at least lean towards the bull camp for sure. Heifer retention expectations, interesting, right? I mean, that's what everybody's looking for. We'll get a report out at the end of this month, and we'll see if it can provide some kind of insight into whether the producers are going to be retaining more heifers for herd rebuilding. So we need to see some signs of some start of herd expansion in order for us to get some kind of feeling that maybe we get prices that come off these lofty levels and help out the consumer demand. I mean, that's always a big question right now, is whether or not this consumer is going to stick in there with these prices where they're at for beef and such. And you can see that a little bit in the transition to pork, right? I mean, pork prices have rallied, there's no doubt about it, but they had not rallied as much as the cattle market had rallied. But now we're starting to see a bit of a, what appears to be a rotation with cattle prices again here up there testing recent swing highs nearabouts, right? And the pork market also trying to sustain some gains. It'll be interesting to see if we get a rotation out of beef and into pork from the consumer. We'll see how that plays out.
It's Agriculture Today.
When it comes to ag chemical application, make sure your equipment delivers. For years, growers and custom commercial applicators alike have depended on Wiley sprayers and Case IH application equipment from Wiley Implement and Spray Center. Wiley offers new and used self-propelled sprayers, as well as our own line of pull-type sprayers for any size operation. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
So today I'm delighted to sign the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act into law, which is a very important thing for our farmers and I think maybe more important for our people, the people that drink milk. This is the first bill signing of the new year, and it will ensure that millions of school-age children have access to high-quality milk as we make America healthy again.
President Trump signing that legislation at a White House event. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
I feel like I have the best job in the world with representing all of these farmers. And, Mr. President, not in our lifetime has a president been a president who loves and supports our farmers more and certainly the dairy farmers. I want to thank all of our farmers here today, sir. Most of them are fifth and sixth generation. They represent states from all across our country. And bringing the children to and seeing what the next generation of dairy farmers looks like. The amazing thing is some of these farmers back here from Butler, Pennsylvania, he milks about 40 to 60 cows. And then we have Jamie from Wisconsin who milks about 5,000 cows. So they represent all across the spectrum. Wow. And what this means, and I think it's important to note that in the last year, your support for these American farmers, for rural America, the One Big Beautiful Bill was the largest investment in rural America in history. I think that's important to note. The trade, and I see my friend Jamison Greer over there and Howard Lutnick on this end, we've opened up more than 24 different markets. Milk exports, dairy exports are up 23% just in the last year. And when you think about the ag deficit that happened under Joe Biden and the 4 years, we went from a surplus of agriculture products when we left the first time to a $50 billion deficit when we came back. Yep. So these are massive, massive wins for America, and I think it's important to note that. I also want to note, and you said it as well, that over a decade ago, Michelle Obama, in this very room, made an announcement on a short-sighted campaign to ditch whole milk in schools, and that's what we're working to fix today. Last week, Bobby Kennedy and Ben Carson and Dr. Oz and the whole crew, sir, announced the Dietary Guidelines for Americans 2025 to 2030, which also reintroduced full-fat dairy into a healthy diet. And today, by signing this bill, Senator Marshall and Congressman Thompson and both all the wonderful men to the right who worked so hard on this, Peter Welch, it is a bipartisan issue, and understanding where we are in this country and how important the health of certainly our children are is so important. USDA is posting today the guidance. So we're signing the bill, and USDA, we're moving at Trump time, is posting today the new rulemaking that is necessary to get whole milk back into school lunches. So that's a really, really big deal.
So how long will that take?
It should just take a few weeks, and then the milk starts moving in. So it's a big announcement, sir, for our schools and our children. And I know Secretary Kennedy will talk a little bit about the health issue, so I won't do that. I'll skip over that. You mentioned, and the last thing I'll say, I know we're here to sign the bill on whole milk, but Senator Crapo's work and our wonderful friend Doug LaMalfa, who we lost way too soon, their work on securing Rural Schools Reauthorization Act, how important that too is for rural America. 700 eligible rural counties across the nation are now guaranteed funds for schools and roads and infrastructure. So, sir, you say it all the time. Those are your people. They voted for you and with us and saw your vision from the beginning. This is who we're here to support today, in addition to the whole milk for healthy schools, which will help all children. Just remember, eat real food and drink whole milk. What a joy again it is to be here, and I especially want to thank all of our incredible farmers for what you do.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
I think there are some features of how a producer can craft that revenue safety net for 2026.
Dr. Mark Welch is a Texas A&M AgriLife Extension grain marketing economist.
We've got some options and some opportunities that we didn't have a year ago. There are some, government emergency support payments, that are likely to be coming very, very soon, and those are going to be important. Are they enough? We could argue about that, but they're still important. But then some of the provisions for crop insurance that are different for 2026, with the degree of cost sharing from the federal government for some of those programs, making them more friendly, that farmers, perhaps you can look at your opportunity to buy up higher levels of revenue coverage than you've been able to do in the past. Maybe you're using some of these enhanced coverage options that in the past have been, maybe we couldn't even think about, they were so expensive. Well, maybe we need to look at those again. Again, with this new pricing structure, we might be able to incorporate some things like that that give us raises that base revenue floor. Participation in the farm programs, whether you're in the PLC program or ARC, the ARC program, the higher reference prices, better levels of revenue protection that are built into those programs for 2026. It's not enough perhaps in a tough year to make you whole, but it does provide a higher level of revenue coverage than we've had in the past. And so I think that can be very, very important. And then on top of that, then to be mindful of marketing opportunities that may present themselves. And again, we're early in the year. It's kind of a flat, kind of a doldrums in the market today as we're talking. But if we do see, rallies in the market, spikes in prices, that may give us an opportunity to do a little better, to get something in place on the marketing side. And so we've established a better safety net, and we take advantage of these marketing opportunities as they unfold. Then I think we can start to craft and put together, a marketing plan and a marketing program that starts to make some kind of sense. You're still got to make a crop if we can, but at least have those provisions in place. If the weather turns against us, if the markets stay tough, that we still have some degree of protection on the downside. And to me, the opportunity to craft that for 2026 is a much more favorable elements than we had a year ago. And then combine that with somebody, keep an eye on these markets, capture these opportunities as they come along. I think there's still some possibilities here to make 2026. I don't know if there's so many things that are uncertain and can unfold, but certainly some opportunities that maybe this 2026 can still work out all right for us, even though it maybe looks kind of tough right now.
But finding any row crop that's got good prices is tough. Is there a light at the end of the tunnel?
And I think it's so key, as you mentioned, it just seems so hard right now, and things are really tough as we're trying to project, two or three years of losses and trying to put a plan together for the next one that doesn't look much better right now. To try to develop a plan and a program, to try to take the emotion out of, especially when it comes to marketing, developing a marketing plan, pricing objectives around price and time, that typically when we see, better movements in prices, but try not to get caught up in the emotion of marketing, but try to implement some degree of objectivity around making these decisions, recognizing nobody knows anything about the future, but that doesn't mean we can't analyze and evaluate marketing opportunities as they unfold, and we've got a plan and a program then to capitalize on those opportunities when they present themselves.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
I first was in the business in the mid-70s and went through all of those years of declining beef demand, poor eating satisfaction with consumers, the medical industry criticizing beef at every interview they did. So went through a lot of really hard years, and the attrition and the loss of producers that occurred during that time was certainly a challenge.
Don Close is senior protein analyst with Terrain on changes to the industry over the last 50 years.
To answer your question, where we're at today, not only with the tightest availability we've had since the early 1950s, but to see not only the tight supply that we have, but to see the demand structure that underlies this market, it's like nothing I've ever seen before. And I think it has tremendous legs under it. I think the changing eating habits that we have seen with consumers, I think the ramifications from the GLP-1 drugs and the impact that they're having on consumers' protein consumption. And then finally, I would add, with the complete flipping of the food pyramid that occurred last week, it just, if there's ever a period the stars are aligned, we're seeing it right now.
It's Don Close looking at the cattle side of the protein sector, but what about hogs? Bob Maurer, Manduka Trading.
Big picture, hog markets, their prices are, in my opinion, supported by stronger exports and seasonal demand. But we also have rising slaughter, a bit heavier weights, and growing pork supplies. And that could limit any considerable upside attempt in terms of the prices here. We'll see how that plays out. Production outlook for 2026. The USDA expects higher pork production due to the strong pig crops, the improving litter rates, and what should be favorable farrowing intentions. So this basically points to sustained supply growth. We'll see if the market's able to absorb that. But this big picture, though, you know, throughout all of 2026, and we'll just have to see how market dynamics could change. In the more near term here, we've had higher hog slaughter. Hog slaughter jumped over year ago levels, as packers basically returned to the full production following the holiday slowdown. Heavier hog weights. We got hog weights that remain elevated, partly due to slower holiday processing earlier on, you know, a few weeks ago or so. Heavier carcasses are basically boosting the pork output. Larger pork supply, so you combine the hog slaughter numbers with the heavier weights, and clearly that's going to be conducive to ample supply out there. But the market so far seems to be absorbing it pretty good in terms of prices, and prices are holding up, so that's a good thing. Strong export demand. Exporters are taking advantage of these lower prices, relatively lower prices, that is, on certain pork cuts, you know, placing larger orders. This is helping to absorb some of the extra supply and supports those packer margins, too, which are still in the positive. In terms of the managed money, the commitment of traders, spec funds, they've built fairly sizable net long positions in the hog futures, and basically this is reflecting, you know, at least from the spec community, some bullish sentiment in the marketplace, and that's supportive. So we'll see how that plays out.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever, because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.